You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 4, Episode 14. Hey friends, and welcome to Feathers this week. I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be with me this week. We have Becky McCoy with us this week. She's a mom of two from Connecticut. She's also a fellow blogger and podcaster. She hosts the Stories of Unfolding Grace. Becky has quite the story of faith. She became a widow at just 28 years old when she was 8 months pregnant with their second child. But just to hear the joy in Becky and how she is letting God shape her and then share out of the overflow is just so inspiring. Before we get started, I'll go ahead and warn you that when you get two podcasters together, you sometimes end up on quite a few tangents, but I promise we eventually get back on the path and wrap it up with a nice ending, so hang in there. Let's go ahead and jump into this conversation with Becky. Well, hey, Becky, and welcome to Feathers today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So why don't we start out? You can introduce yourself and your family and all that good stuff.
Sure. My name is Becky McCoy. I live right on the Connecticut coast with my two kids. Caleb is 3 and Libby is 1. And they are, oh my gosh, these kids are so much fun. Like, I mean, all kids are fun, or most kids are fun. But these kids are, are really fun. There's just something so unique about the amount of precociousness in their little souls. So they drive me crazy sometimes, but they're also really fun.
I love 1 and 3. Of course, at every age, you're kind of like, oh, I love that.
Right.
I love that.
There's something awesome about
3 is, I like 3 because 3 is usually when they're chatting and saying a lot of funny things.
Yes.
And I like 1 because they're mobile and you're like, yes, like you can get yourself around now.
Yeah. Well, Libby is, she is just, both my kids are really confident in who they are, which I'm really thankful for. And especially when there are teenagers and adults, that will be a wonderful trait. But that means right now when we're trying to get from the beach to the car, Libby is like wandering through a field because she just like it.
Yeah. Just going to go do this, Mom.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not, yeah, you just need to be obedient.
Oh, so Connecticut, that is one state. Of course, I've not been to a lot of states, but that is okay. One of them I have not been to yet.
Oh, well, you'll have to come and stay near the shoreline with us.
I was going to say, where's the popular place to go there? I have no idea.
Yeah. So, we actually live right near Mystic, like in Mystic Pizza, Mystic.
Okay.
And then it's like actually a real restaurant. And then there are two casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, they're advertised like all over the world, which is kind of crazy. So a lot of people come to this area, southeastern Connecticut, either to go to the casinos or to go to Mystic. We're not that far from Rhode Island, so we like to go to Newport. They have tons of mansions there. And they're just beaches all along the coastline, so it's pretty neat.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been up there. I have to put it on my list. There's a lot. I think every time I talk to somebody that's been to some area, I'm like, yes, I want to go there. Right. And I really do. But
yeah, I know. It's so hard.
So we're going back to the South Carolina coast this year again. I mean, I'm in South Carolina, so it's like.
Okay, right.
I need to diversify. Oh, goodness. All right. So you are a fellow podcaster. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah. My podcast is Stories of Unfolding Grace. So I discovered one day that the Message translation of 2 Corinthians 4:16 just talks about how we can't give up, because even though everything outside of us is completely falling apart, inside God is making new life because of his unfolding grace. So I just really wanted to start helping people tell their stories of unfolding grace and talk about the times in life that were really hard, but how they saw grace through it and how they're living more bravely and authentically as a result. And it's been, oh, it's so fun.
Is it not the best? Yeah. I have the best time.
Yeah. I've gotten to know, I have some of my own friends and family as guests. I just started in March, so we're still getting off the ground. But I've also met new people that have just found the podcast and sent in their story. It's great.
That is fabulous. I love when people email me.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, yes, that's perfect. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you have a wonderful, hard, grace-filled, faith-filled, all sort of kind of thing story. And I'm sure that inspired you to share other people's stories. So, and we are going to share that tonight. And I would love for you to jump in. It's quite the range of all kind of things happening.
Oh,
so
my word. Yeah.
Let's go to the beginning and talk about it.
The beginning. So I was born in August. I'm actually turning 30 in a couple weeks, so that's exciting.
It is exciting. The 30s are wonderful.
I feel like I've been waiting 30 years to turn 30. Like, I've always been mental age 30-something, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm, like, really stoked about it, actually.
That'd be great.
So, yeah, I experienced my first big loss when I was 3. My mom's mom passed away, and I just... maybe idolized is too strong of a word, but it was pretty close. Like, in my little 3-year-old life, I wanted to be her and be near her all the time. And she had had cancer and was on oxygen near the end of her life. So it was pretty traumatic as a kid to see that favorite person be really ill and then be gone. And I feel I've kind of joked a couple times that grief is a hobby for me, which is really sadistic, but kind of true, because it just keeps popping up over and over and over again in my life, and especially over the last 10 to 11 years. So I grew up in this family that was, my parents had a really healthy marriage, and they really modeled that for my sister and I. I grew up in a really, like, safe, loving home. I had a wonderful childhood, and then when I went to college, I was just really faced with a lot of challenges. My husband and I started dating. Then we got engaged, and he had lymphoma during our engagement. That was really challenging because, you know, most people engage.
I mean, he was young, right?
Yeah, I was – when we got engaged, I was 20, so he was 24. Yeah, so really young. You know, our engagement wasn't like happy and fun. It was like, hooray, you're in remission. Like, yay. So that was really hard. And then we got married. So I got married really young, which in the Northeast is not a common thing. So that was definitely a big risk, it felt like, to take. And we were both, so I had just graduated from undergrad, and he was right in the middle of medical school, and I was about to start graduate school. So, like, everything in our life was complete chaos.
Oh, my gosh. And he's battling
cancer. Yeah, and he had just gone into remission right before we.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's, like, every time he got a headache, he's like, oh, it's back. You know, there you just, like, live in that panic of maybe it'll come back. So we got through grad school. It was traumatic in its own ways. We lost an apartment to an electrical fire. Like, so I ended up being homeless for a whole semester, just kind of surfing on people's couches and whatnot. That same semester, a tree fell and, like, landed right down the middle of my car. So it looked like a hot dog in a bun. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's like my life.
That's like freak accident.
Yeah. Some parts of my life are like a cartoon that you can't believe really happened. So we got through grad school, and he got orders because he was on an Air Force scholarship for med school. So he got orders to go out to Las Vegas for residency at Nellis Air Force Base. So we packed up, you know, all of the meager things that we owned and headed out to Vegas. And that ended up being like a real – not only do we live in the desert, but emotionally that was a desert place. We had a really hard time finding our group of friends.
And so all your family's, I guess, still on East
Coast?
Yeah,
they're all in Connecticut.
Okay. Wow, that was a big move then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge move. Everything about, you know, the culture on the West Coast is different, and, like, visually everything is different. And we were New Englanders at heart, and now all of a sudden we lived in the vastness of the desert. And God really challenged us in a lot of ways. He was a resident, and I was a new teacher. winter, and life was really hard. Terrible. I do not ever want to go back to those years. We ended up being really blessed with an amazing church family and friends that were really hard to say goodbye to. But the start was pretty rough. So after he graduated residency, we moved back. Oh, wait. I skipped something. So while Keith was in residency, I got pregnant. And our son Caleb was born, which was super awesome and exciting, especially because he can now always say he was born in Las Vegas.
Oh, man, that's fun.
Yeah. Like, we have every little onesie that says Vegas baby just because we thought it was hilarious. but 8 hours after Caleb was born, back in Connecticut, my dad passed away from cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and this was after my grandfather had passed away a year and a half before. So we move back to the East Coast. Keith gets a regular clinic job at an Air Force base outside of D.C. And then over the next year and a half, we lost Keith's best friend and the woman who had mentored me through high school and college.
Lost them like they both died?
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of them? Were they in an accident or something?
Of each other. No. They were both sick. They both had cancer. And...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, really. Like, I warn people, don't be my friend because you might get cancer. Oh. It's really terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this was after one of my coworkers had brain cancer in Vegas and he passed away. I mean, it was a terrible few years of just, like, one loss after another. So we were kind of just reeling from that and just trying to recover emotionally. And I got pregnant with our daughter, which was exciting because we knew that we wanted to have more kids, but the timing of getting pregnant with her meant that Keith would be deployed when I gave birth. And because he had done so many deliveries in residency where the husband was deployed, we just knew that we just didn't want that. Because it just adds such an extra difficulty to delivery. Right. So I really wrestled with God a lot with that. And then in the fall, so now we're up to October of 2014, Keith started waking up like completely soaking wet from night sweats, which is never a good thing. Like, if you look like you just jumped out of the shower when you wake up in the morning, like, you need to go see the doctor, like, right away. And so we both knew that, and he started going through all this testing because we thought maybe the lymphoma came back. Well, it turned out to be a completely different cancer, and he passed away in January 5th of 2015, so 3 months after he started feeling ill.
Gosh, it's only been like 18 months.
Yeah, it's only been a year and a half.
So sorry to hear that.
Thanks. But I was still pregnant with Libby when he passed away. Oh my gosh,
so how many months pregnant were you when he passed?
I was 8, so I was like very visibly pregnant when he passed
away. Oh my gosh.
Which was like... I felt like a sideshow exhibit because
in a lot of ways,
right. Cause nobody knows what to say to a widow to begin with.
Mm-hmm. It's such a young one too.
Right. And people say the most awkward things to pregnant women and then throw those two together. And it was just, oh my word. It was,
I can't imagine the things people might've come up with.
Yeah. It was a terrible month between when Keith died and when Libby was born. It was really rough. But then Libby was born, and she is just the most joy-filled person I've ever met in my whole life. Her smile lights up a room so bright. We always joked that both my kids are therapy babies because they were born into times of such great grief that they've just healed us all. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, what a gift. Yeah.
Yeah. So since then, the kids and I have moved back up to Connecticut from the D.C. area to be near family. Mm-hmm. And kind of are just starting our new life.
Mm.
And yeah. Yeah. So that's my story. That's the short version of
talk about. Yeah. The short version. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're talking about grief as what did you say? What was the grief as a not hobby? Is that what you said?
Sort of. Yeah. Kind of a hobby. All of
so what? I'm just curious. What have you learned about grief that maybe some people could learn from?
Oh, so much. I think one of the biggest things is just to show up, just to be there for people. You may not know what to say, but it's really okay to say, hey, I don't know what to say, but I'm really sorry. Because that communicates that you understand that there's a deep pain that's occurring, and that you care, and that you want to be there and be part of their community. And that's just huge. Oh, my word.
And so, but what would you say to somebody who might be experiencing a loss, though? Like, how do you process that, especially when so many other things? I mean, we all have things going on.
Right.
I mean, goodness, a birth of your child after
a widow, but you've got something going on.
Right. So, yeah. So, especially in regards to faith and thinking about, you know, God's sovereignty and. I don't know. So what have you kind of learned, I would think?
Yeah, so you really kind of have to put what you expect about grief away. Just kind of throw that away, because each grief experience for, like, me was completely different. And not because the loss was different. Like, it's not like I grieved more when I lost my husband than when I lost my dad. I just grieved very differently. And if I had tried to fit myself into a box and grieve a certain way, it wouldn't have worked, because every experience is so unique. So I really encourage people to really feel down to the bottom of the grief. And that's really scary, because it can be really terrifying. And after Keith died and before Libby was born were really dark days. Like, I don't mean any of this to mean that it makes grieving any easier. It probably makes it a lot harder. But on the flip side, you find healing. You allow God to heal your heart when you really allow yourself to feel the brokenness. There were plenty of times that I doubted God's sovereignty, that I doubted that he was loving and compassionate. But he's big enough to hear that. Like, it doesn't change his character if I'm really open with him about how I feel about him.
Right.
So, like, I was really honest with God, and I was really honest with the people around me. And it was scary and really hard sometimes, but I can see that I was doing the hard work of grieving and not avoiding it. Because I've also tried to avoid grief, and that does not make anything better.
That's so interesting. I was just listening to, and I'm trying to find the book. I can't find the book, but I think it's Krista Black Gifford, or Krista Gifford.
That name is familiar.
And I think her new book is Heart Made Whole. I think it's the name of it. And I hate that I'm butchering both her name and the book name.
Yeah, that's why we have show notes, right?
Right. Exactly. It'll be in the show notes. Yeah. But I was just listening to her on a podcast with Annie Downs, and she was talking about, exactly that, is that you go into the closet with Jesus and you get to the bottom of your heart and you give him all of it. And she said all the time, she's like, I punched Jesus, she's just like, I just give him it all and he can take it.
Yeah.
He can take all of that pain. And actually that's where we're supposed to take it.
It's so true. I remember laying in my bed, like literally just staring at the ceiling. Libby was like kicking my guts out inside of me. And just saying, like, God, you got this one wrong. I know you said that you're sovereign and omniscient and you, like, are all powerful, but you got this wrong. This is not how you designed families to function. This is not your intention for creation. So what the heck?
And so have you been able to resolve? I mean, I guess there's sometimes in our lives we just don't ever get really answers of why things went the way they did. Have you resolved kind of where you land with that?
So with both my dad and Keith, God made it really clear right away that he was using their loss, the loss of them, to really create revival in people's hearts. I've completely lost count of the number of people who made eternal decisions because my dad and Keith are in heaven. Or they're now questioning something that they never thought was important before. Or, you know, I've just seen people take these steps on their faith journeys that they wouldn't have taken if my dad and Keith were still here. And that helps a lot, because there's no like, well, maybe one day when I'm in heaven, I'll understand. Like, it's
no,
really
right.
clear that was the catalyst for a lot of people. But then there are other times, like being, you know, parenting two kids alone as a widow, like that I don't get. That I wrestle with God a lot, because I just know that this is not how He designed families. And I do much better being a supporting role than I do having to like run the household and the family and be the leader and make all the decisions and like have all the responsibilities fall on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So that continues to be a challenge, and I don't really know. I don't know how that'll resolve. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. My husband is a state trooper. So there's, you know, he has long weekends and stuff like that. And of course that doesn't compare, but it's just like, I mean, even that little glimpse, I'm just like, gosh, I'm like bowing down to single moms. Like you guys are pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely very difficult.
But you guys have a good support system.
We do. One of the things that made moving back to this area really difficult was that all of my friends from growing up had moved away. So while my mom and my sister and my in-laws and my husband's siblings are around, I just didn't know if I was going to have any friends. And because I really struggle making friends, because I'm someone who likes to go really deep. And when you're like the new person in town and you walk up to people and they're like, what makes you tick? Like, what makes your heart sing? Like, that's not really like the best way to make friends. So I was really nervous about that. And gosh, God has just provided tenfold. I really prayed, you know, God, if we're going to move back, like my home church is here and it's a wonderful church. But I just knew that I needed a fresh start and I needed to be around new and different people and not be Keith's widow and Mike's daughter and just be myself and make my own friends based on who I am and not because they know my story. Mm-hmm. And so I said, God, you're going to have to plant a church. Like somebody, because up here in New England, there aren't like a plethora of wonderful churches to choose from. And it's so funny because while I was fervently praying those prayers, there were a group of people that I went to youth group with growing up that were planting a church.
Oh, wow.
And so now to be part of a church that's new, and I love being part of a small new church, but already have relationships with some of these people. Before I even knew Keith, I was friends with these people. So it's just so neat how God's like, I knew what you needed. I took care of it. Don't worry. Yeah, it's been really wonderful.
That's really cool. So since then, you've really been, what I understand is you've really been being pushed forward to share your story more. So that's part of your being brave story, right?
Yeah. So on the day that Keith died, I was laying in bed and it was almost like God was audibly saying, you need to share your story. You need to say yes to every single opportunity until I tell you, you can say no. Which on that first day was like, okay, sure, God, that's great. And as it has turned into like doing a segment for the news or being in the newspaper with my face all over the top fold, it's like, okay, God, I'm getting less and less comfortable with this. can we maybe slow down? And he's just like, nope, I need you to just keep sharing your story. And I love doing that through writing on my blog, which has been really awesome. But he's really stretching me through doing like Facebook Live stuff and whatnot to not just share my story from my living room behind my computer, but really like step out and be with people, which I'm an introvert, so I don't super love that idea, but I'm working on it.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I know. I feel it's so funny. Like as I've gone along and in my own journey, it's kind of like, well, I used to write in a journal and then I like wrote on a blog and then I like, you know, did a couple of videos.
Right.
It's like little by little, you know, and then I actually stood in front of somebody and spoke. And
right. I actually love public speaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to teach high school, so I love especially being with like high school and college students, and just sharing my heart with them. But there's still that like level of introvertedness because we don't really have to interact. Like, it's me talking at you.
Right. Not, like, I've heard actually a lot of people say that are introverts, they actually prefer the stage,
right?
Because I guess there's not that small talk thing,
right? And it's the part after I give a talk or I speak, that's the hard part for me, when people want to come up and introduce themselves, and that's just so overwhelming for me and totally overstimulating. I've had to have friends kind of like flank me and like help keep people moving, because I will just get so tired so quickly.
But, you know, it's so interesting. A lot of people, you know, they have these strengths finders and they say, what is your passion and this and that. And so many times I've seen that God puts you right where you're weak. So, you know, just to make himself so strong.
Right.
And so, I mean, I do believe that he's given us certain gifts and that we should use them for, you know, the building up of the kingdom and stuff. But I think there's just so many times that he will ask us to do the thing that maybe we're not so great at.
Yeah, I think especially those of us that maybe have like control issues.
Yeah.
To be like, mm-hmm. God, I'm like a personality profile junkie. So like StrengthsFinder, Myers-Briggs, like any of those, ask me my thing and I will talk to you for hours about it. And so I like to be like, God, look, you created me to have these top five strengths and I'm an INFJ and like this, that, and the other. And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay. So let's do something that makes you really uncomfortable.
Like, yeah. Now that we know where you're strong.
Right. He's like, just in case you thought that meant I was going to give you some control.
That's so funny. That's so true, though. So I'm just curious, what's your top five strengths finder? So you know it off the top of your head.
I do, actually. Intellection, input, learner, relator, and connectedness. So I love to think about things, and mm-hmm. I love to bring people together.
Okay.
And I like to collect random things. So, like, if you look at my Instagram, it's every other post is a quote because I love collecting words.
Oh, interesting. It's so interesting how it comes out. So I'm intellection and input too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I just like to know all the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I like watch a TV show, I have to know all the actors' names, all the shows that they've been on.
Yeah.
And then after I watch it, then I have to go watch all the YouTube videos of what they've been on.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I'm just input. Like, I like all the information, and that's what I do in what they, and then I like to think about it for a long time. Right. So I actually have to be super careful about the input.
Yeah.
And the things. I actually have quit watching TV because I just go down a very, very long rabbit hole and I get out of control. Mm-hmm. But it works really well if I concentrate on the good things. Right.
Right.
And then with the, you know, with that as well, it's good when you have an outlet like a podcast or a blog, mm-hmm. and use it for good. So yes, it's interesting, but I'm not so much of a collector of things, which I've heard that input can go that way, sort of, if you like to collect.
Well, I think I think they would say that you're like a collector of facts about people. So like you're collecting like all the different movies that they've ever been in, and you're
right.
Like, so it doesn't. Because at first I was really confused because I've never been someone to have like a collection. But then when they were like, no, you just really like to categorize things and fill up your categories. Like, oh, yep, that's me.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have to look at my other ones. my other three are responsibility, restorative, and achiever. So basically with me, I like to I feel very, like, when there's a problem, I feel very responsible for that.
Yeah.
And I like to do all the things, like, all the time until it's fixed.
Right, and think about
it. And I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I'm collecting all the input about it, and we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
And we're going to, and especially just being very, like, yeah, the restorative is, I love to solve problems. And responsibility, it, like, makes me feel like I am responsible, like, for making sure it gets fixed.
You are the one that has to do it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Which can get me in trouble. Sometimes I have to learn to let people have their own problems, and like, I'm not responsible for the whole world.
Right.
And Yeah, which, you know, it's that whole boundaries thing. You know, you carry your own book back.
I heard a talk this weekend on StrengthsFinder and like how to use your strengths in your communication style. And so she went through each one of the strengths and talked about like the pro and the con of each strength. So like intellect being the thinking strength, like that's great because you've really thought deep. Like the intellect people are the people who think really deeply. Like she gave examples like C.S. Lewis would definitely be an intellect person because right. He's thought all the way through everything. She's like, that's great. But you have a really hard time like stopping, like stop thinking. Give everyone all the information because they don't want to think about it like you want to think about it. Like, you don't need to sound authoritative and like an expert on everything. Like, oh.
That's so interesting because I've been working on – I'm working this fall on writing a Bible study. And I've spent like months on these one – like it's honestly half of a verse. And just thinking about it right. And researching it and going on and on. And then I've been thinking, so I've come to some sort of conclusion and I'm like, okay, so how do I talk about this? And like, I was just thinking today, I'm like, I just need to give them the bottom line. I don't have to give them the, you know, 6 months of research about how I came to that.
Right. I know. It's so hard. But then there are people like me who would love that.
Right. Like, I know.
Wow. I just spent 3 months thinking about this one thing. That's so cool.
Yes, I know. The fellow intellection people would appreciate. The other people were like, tune me out in 30 seconds.
I know.
Like,
just everybody get to else, the bottom line. Like, please just give me the one sentence version.
You know, and honestly, in my blog post, I used to do that. Like, if you want the short version, here it is. And I would give it in one sentence. But if you want the long version, I always called it the boy version and the girl version, right? Like, you know, they came back from vacation. And they're like, oh, yeah, like we went to the beach. It was fun, you know? Yeah. And then me, it's like on Monday morning at 7 a.m., we went to blah, blah, blah. And I have to give all the details.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So you went to She Speaks. So we have to go on a little tangent here. How was the, what was your big thing takeaway from the weekend?
She Speaks was amazing. It was like a personal retreat for me to be away from the kids for 4 or 5 days and have a hotel room to myself and other people do all the cooking and cleaning. And so mm-hmm. I really felt like I could make my mind and my heart quiet, which I can't do in real life.
Yeah, because you're on all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I felt like God really, he really impressed upon my heart that He said, like, don't you see that the last 10 to 11 years of pain and struggle and heartache have been to shape your heart so that you're ready for this weekend? Mm. Which was really affirming for me because I've really struggled to feel like God was using me in my life for eternal purposes, but he wasn't really listening to my heart. He was mm-hmm. just using me. And I was feeling really tired of that. And like, who wants to just be used for somebody else's means? But I really felt like this weekend, he said, Rebecca, like, I love you. And I have allowed this to happen so that you can be passionate about encouraging women to live bravely and authentically. And you wouldn't be that passionate if you had not gone through all that. And that was just so, like, I don't cry very often, but I cried this weekend a lot.
So I listened to Lisa's talk
on Friday
that they
night.
Had made available. Yeah, they had made available on the first five. And where she was talking about the pain of the sickness and the whatever it's not sickness, but
right.
The illness that she had this past spring or the beginning of the summer, and how she talked about that the pain had a purpose. And it basically, at the end of the day, saved her life because of the pain.
Right. She wouldn't have gone to the doctor if she didn't have pain.
Right. And so that sounds, so I can imagine that hearing that would have been good for you.
Yeah. And there were so many messages throughout the weekend that were just like that reminder that God didn't just allow all these things to happen so that other people would see him. Or other people would learn about him. I've used all of this to change your heart. Like, I really started to see and understand how my heart has been shaped and the purpose of all the pain in my own life, not just in what I can offer others because of it. So that was a really powerful, because I've been wrestling with that so much, that was a really powerful, like, personal takeaway from the weekend. I walked away really being excited to start pursuing more speaking engagements, which is something like I've taken them on as people have requested them, but I've never really actively tried to book anything. But I really feel like it's time to start looking into that. And I really clarified my passion for encouraging high school and college students to live bravely and authentically and help them learn how to walk through the really hard and difficult seasons of life. So I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I love youth. I've been a youth leader before, and my kids, actually, my oldest is 13, almost 14, and I can tell I'm just having so much fun. Everybody's scared of the teenage years, and I might be super scared in 2 years, so I might eat my words. They're actually recorded right now. But so far, it's been so much fun.
Yeah, I know. That was my favorite part of teaching, was just to get to hang out with high schoolers all day long. It was so fun.
So is that what you're doing these days? Are you teaching?
No, I actually, because Keith was active duty Air Force when he passed away, we get a stipend mm-hmm. military, so I get to still stay home with my kids, which is, oh my gosh, that has got to be like the hugest gift.
What a blessing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that my kids' lives don't have to change because their dad died, you know, other than the obvious.
That is so good. Yay, USA.
Yeah, for real. I know. There are so many things that, like, I could complain about the military for, but how they treat their surviving spouses, they really ace it. Oh my word. Yeah. They've taken really good care of us.
Wow. That's such a provision. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's for you guys. Insane. All right. Well, that is just, I think that's a great note to end on. Yeah. Just all the pain that you've experienced, but you see how God has used it for your good, and I know is using it for other people's good, and how he's provided for you. It's, can't call it all good, but it is his good plan. So
yeah. In the broader perspective, it is good.
Well, thanks so much for sharing. I know it's encouraged some people. If people want to connect with you online, how can they do that?
My blog is BeckyLMcCoy.com, and then all of my social media is at BeckyLMcCoy. And you can find the podcast Stories of Unfolding Grace on iTunes or Stitcher or on my blog, pretty much anywhere you search.
Awesome. Well, add it to your listening list, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks for being here. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Becky. I was thinking about what to take away from this episode, and I just really felt like the Lord just wanted to remind us all that he's still good. You know, bad things happen and there's really no other way around that. They're just bad. They're painful. We live in a broken world with death and grief and tears. And yet a day is coming when he's going to show himself faithful and wipe all of it out and make it new. And because of faith like Becky's, she will be reunited with her loved ones. But in the meantime, God can handle all the questions, all the tears, all the frustrations of this broken world. And this faith that we have, it doesn't demand that we see bad things as good, but it says that we see God as good. And maybe in some cases, God may show us moments like he did for Becky when he redeems some of those bad moments. And, you know, sometimes he doesn't, but we can trust that one day he will make all things right. And I'm just so encouraged by Becky, who has been able to take her questions to God. She's been able to see some of these moments and then is letting God grow her through these. And then out of the overflow of that, share with others this faith that she has and encourage people in the broken world that we live in and in their mess that they're crying through, that we can trust God, that he has got a good plan. He's a good God. And one day he will make it all right. So guys, I hope this encourages you. Thank you so much again for listening. Don't forget you can leave a review on iTunes if you haven't been able to do that. Also, make sure you share on social media, on Facebook. And that will be it for this week. So guys, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on Feathers.